You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show, it doesn't seem like placebos should work, but sometimes they do. Kate Archer-Kent talks to an expert on the placebo effect about why and when fake medications might work as well as the real thing, and when they don't. That's tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show. Now, the U.S. Senate finished the impeachment trial of President Trump by voting to acquit him on both charges, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The vote fell largely along party lines, including from Wisconsin senators. Democrat Tammy Baldwin voted to convict Trump on both counts, while Republican Ron Johnson voted to acquit. One Republican senator, Mitt Romney, voted guilty on one of the two charges. The process has left some worrying that impeachment will be used more often as a partisan tool in the future, while others fear presidents will now be emboldened to use their office to help their personal political goals. Maurice Shepard is professor of political science at Madison College. He's with us now in the studio. Maurice, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, before we get to Mitt Romney, the one asterisk probably on this question, anything surprising in the votes today to acquit the president?
Nothing really surprising in terms of the vote. I think there was one senator, Manchin from, Virginia, who there was some question in terms of how he might vote. He comes from a very conservative state, so there was some concern that, once again, he might vote on one of the articles to convict, but that did not happen.
So the end result hasn't really been in question at this point. Does everything just go back to normal now, whatever normal is?
Well, it will be a new normal. I think what in terms of the impeachment process, again, this is something that the American founders put in place due to their fear of having a too vigorous or even a tyrannical executive. In some of the political science literature, again, there's all, and we've heard a lot about, you know, the issue that this is not like a criminal trial. This is really a political question. And the two things that really stand out in terms of the literature on this in political science would be, one, the politics of it. Who is in charge? Which party has a majority in, once again, in this case, in the Senate, in terms of once again having the trial? But also what matters will be, and I think this is important in terms of the impeachment of President Trump, even though he's been acquitted, will be the clarity and the perceived severity of the wrongdoing. And I think that was a major issue here.
Well, I want to give a listen to Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah. He voted to convict the president on the first count, abuse of power. He said Trump's conduct was, quote, well, here's a bit of what he had to say on the floor.
Corrupting an election to keep oneself in office is perhaps the most abusive and destructive violation of one's oath of office that I can imagine.
Now, Senator Romney's vote, of course, doesn't make a difference to the outcome, but the symbolic value of the guy who ran as the Republican candidate for president in 2012 now becoming, I believe, I keep hearing, the first senator in U.S. history to vote to impeach a president from his own party. Can you talk about the symbolism there?
Right. Well, this does provide where you have a president now who's been again, at least voted against by someone of their own party. So it lends to the idea that there was bipartisan support for at least acknowledging sort of the wrongdoing on President Trump's part. I think it also matters in terms of the sort of politics for Governor Romney. He's placed himself in a pretty difficult position. It will be interesting to see sort of how he moves forward and what he actually can do.
And now he isn't running for re-election until, I believe, 2024 in the Senate in Utah. That's a long time from now. A lot could happen between now and then. So senators faced with an election in 2020 may have faced a different calculation.
Right. And again, there's always a balance there in terms of, and I think this was at the core of the entire sort of impeachment issue at this point, in terms of sort of civic virtue, in terms of being maintaining and staying with the Constitution, what are your deep beliefs in that sense, but then also that has to be balanced with the reality of partisanship and politics. In the United States right now, we have, particularly at the national level, very intense political polarization. And we see that sort of coming through. The interesting thing in terms of that, I always find, is that a lot of that people are concerned about where does the polarization come from, I think. And some of the literature does show that most of it comes first and foremost from the parties themselves. So in some ways, they generate sort of this heat, and then it sort of radiates out. And when there are questions in terms of you know, how can we address this issue? I think it really has to come back to the parties and the elected officials themselves.
Talking to Maurice Shepard from Madison College, looking at today's vote in the U.S. Senate to acquit President Trump on both charges of impeachment along party lines, with one exception, Republican Senator Mitt Romney voting to convict the president on one of the two counts. I want to give a listen to both of Wisconsin senators now, starting with Senator Ron Johnson. He doesn't see the president's actions as being impeachable. Yesterday he said he doesn't think they were meant to affect the upcoming election. Here's a listen to Senator Johnson.
I never viewed his desire to find out what happened in Ukraine as having anything to do with the 2020 election. It was all a look back, trying to explain in some way, shape, or form how he ended up with a special counsel.
And that's in contrast to Senator Romney, who saw the Biden part of the investigation as being about the 2020 election. So a different lens for those two Republican senators.
Right. And there's even in some of the interviews that have taken place recently with Republican senators, there seems to be a common thread in terms of, one, that for the first article of impeachment, abuse of power, a number have voiced the idea that even if the president engaged in this action, it was either one, by accident, or two, it's nothing. It's not a real big deal. The second article, though, that's where I think a number, and this is where again, there really are some questions in terms of obstruction of Congress, in terms of executive power. And I think, again, putting politics aside, I think for many scholars, they believe that question really should be decided by the Supreme Court. It's still sort of unclear in terms of how far, executive privilege, executive power, how far that actually stretches to the point where President Trump, again, asked a number of his officials not to, again, sort of respond to subpoenas and turn over certain documents.
Yeah, and this has been an ongoing issue, before we get back to the current impeachment, an ongoing issue for presidents of either party. How much does the executive branch have to defer to the legislative branch, Congress? How much do they have to provide people and documents and things like this? This is an ongoing issue where a lot of people see the president's side of that getting more and more powerful.
Exactly. And this, and putting politics aside, both the two dominant American political parties, you see this happening on both sides. So if the president is Republican or Democrat, that the presidency as an institution continues to grow in terms of its power. And that happens for a number of reasons. One, over time, the American founders did not necessarily, I think, intend for the presidency to be as powerful as it is today. They really wanted the Congress, the real representatives of the people, to sort of take the lead. Over time, executives, presidents have expanded their power, sometimes with congressional support and consent. In other cases, they can take advantage of maybe a crisis situation to, again, expand those powers.
I want to listen to Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Now, Senator Johnson has said when he asked President Trump about withholding aid to Ukraine, Trump said there was no quid pro quo. More recently, leaked writings from John Bolton said the president confirmed that quid pro quo. It's something that Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin talked about today. Here's a listen.
It may not matter to this Senate, but I can tell you it matters to the people of the state of Wisconsin that this president did not tell their senator the truth. Based on the facts presented to us, I refuse to join this president's cover-up, and I refuse to conclude that the president's abuse of power doesn't matter.
Now, what do you make of Senator Baldwin using some time there to focus on the conversation between her Wisconsin colleague, Senator Johnson, and President Trump?
I think she gets to the heart of, again, of American politics, that we have what's called sort of the Madisonian model, separation of powers, checks and balances. And that was one of the intention of the American founders, to separate that power, and also checks and balances, that if a single branch of government, particularly in terms of the executive, starts to become too powerful, that there's an ability and a way to check it. Again, it's sort of the double-edged sword of the American politics, and particularly in terms of the Constitution. It's short, it's clear, it's concise, but it's vague in many areas, particularly as it relates to impeachment of a president.
I want to bring up a question. I've talked to some other guests. We've been talking about this a lot lately, of course. We had some Republican senators who said the president's actions were wrong here, but they don't rise to the level of an impeachable offense. And really, for oversight of the president, there's not a lot of room between doing nothing and removing them from office completely. There's not a lot of middle ground when it comes to putting consequences on the actions of a president if Congress doesn't like them.
Well, a couple of things there. One, in terms of Congress, it has a number of tools in its toolbox. Congress controls the appropriations process. Again, also in areas in terms of appointments and that sort. So there are a number of institutional mechanisms that Congress can use that if they don't really like the direction that a president is going, that they could, once again, sort of put the brakes on it, per se. But the other question is, in terms of politics comes into play here. And this is where, once again, sort of the political polarization kicks in. And for the Republicans right now, right or wrong, they are sticking with their president.
We continue our conversation with Maurice Shepard of Madison College, looking at the final day of the Senate impeachment trial. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the Senate's vote to acquit President Trump on both articles of impeachment? Do you think the process ran fairly? Has the impeachment process changed your view of the president, of politics, for better or worse? What do you think of Senator Mitt Romney, a Republican, voting to convict the president on the abuse of power charges? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Steve starts us off in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think the elephant in the room on this is just the Democratic Party just being the party of hate. I mean, you can look at Wisconsin and what they did with Walker. Same type of deal. I mean, we can look at the State of the Union yesterday and the unhinged Nancy Pelosi ripping up the speech right in front of everybody for the cameras. It's all about hate. And just wanted to hear the guests comment on this hateful nature that's coming from the Democratic Party. Like, they have nothing else to offer except this hate that's out there.
Steve, thanks for the call. This is motivated by Democratic hatred for the president, he says, Maurice.
I think the issue in terms of the core issue here is political polarization. And quite honestly, this is nothing unique to the United States. There are other large-scale democracies around the world that are facing the exact same thing in terms of, again, sort of the intensity of the politics instead of looking first and foremost at sort of the good of the country and the nation. The parties have sort of, once again, closed ranks, and that's what they focus on. Some could point back to when President Obama was in office and he was giving a State of the Union address, and I think it was a Republican, stood up and said, "You lie," or something along those lines. No hands are clean here. No one is totally innocent. This is something, again, it's a worldwide sort of phenomena that, again, not unique to the United States, but it matters.
Thanks, Steve, for the call. We'll go to Sharon now in Milwaukee. Sharon, hi.
Hi. My concern is that you had all these Republican senators that took this oath, that they took an oath knowing they were going to vote Republican Party line, and now that oath means nothing. So now no oath in the United States, including the president, means anything. So how do we go from there?
Sharon, thanks for the call. Maurice, do you think Republicans weren't true to their oath, or is there more to it?
I cannot see into their hearts. but I think you have an important question that needs to be addressed. And in our system of politics, this could be addressed and should be addressed during an election, that constituents will have to, once again, think about their, particularly as it relates to senators in this case, in terms of the Senate trial. Again, you know, do they feel that they were, once again, true to their word? Did they look at the evidence in an unbiased way? Or were they just being partisan in terms of their behavior and their vote?
And I think there could be a little of both there. I think human psychology suggests that once we've picked a side, and not saying anything about Republicans or Democrats in particular, the arguments of that side start to look more persuasive to us, and the arguments of the other side look less persuasive to us.
Yeah, it can be very complex. I think what has sort of muddied the water, quite honestly, it would be some of the Republicans and their Republican senators and their comments in terms of, again, in some way, Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, for example, acknowledging that, you know, yes, I think that the president, in terms of Article 1, did abuse his power. Mm-hmm. But it, as he put it, it doesn't rise to the level of, and the term he used was impeachability, which I have a real problem with that because the president has been impeached. Mm-hmm. It's just, once again, that happened in the House of Representatives. Now it's a question of, once again, the trial and, once again, guilt or innocence, convicting him and throwing him out.
Thanks for that call, Sharon. We're talking to Maurice Shepard from Madison College, looking at what looks to be the final day of the impeachment trial of President Trump. Back to your calls now. Harold is with us in northern Wisconsin. Harold, hi.
Well, hello there. I want to thank these Republicans. Have they voted on this now?
They have voted on it. Yep, they acquitted the president, mostly party line. Mitt Romney voted to convict on one charge.
Yeah, okay. I've been on the phone so much. they're really making it easy to clean house and impeach all these Republicans. It's just demoralizing. They're hanging themselves, and the joke is on them. They think they won, and they haven't won because we're going to just clean house, they've ignored.
I think I gotcha, Harold. Harold, looking ahead at the election, saying this is going to be bad for Republicans. I suspect anybody making really strong predictions, it may be a little fuzzier come November one way or the other.
Correct. If, once again, there are some who are, once again, lean right, they may say that this has blown up in the Democrats' face. And now, again, President Trump is in a much stronger position and that Republicans will be able to ride his coattails. There are others that would make the argument. I think this is sort of the argument that Harold is making, is that this is just, again, it's politics, it's personal politics, but where's the policy? If President Trump is, and again, just sort of looking at this as an outside observer, if they're so focused on, again, sort of looking at the 2020 election, engaging in these questionable activities and behaviors, you know, where are the public policies that are there to address the American people, particularly here in Wisconsin? In Wisconsin, we have a terrible situation of, once again, teen suicides, once again, opioid abuse. Housing is an issue there, a number of different issues. I think this is what Harold, again, is getting at, is that, where is the focus on the voters and what they want beyond just sort of politics?
Mm-hmm. Harold, thanks for the call. Kamal joins us now in Elkhorn. Kamal, hello.
Hi. My comment was that, this trial was supposed to be a trial at the Senate and both at the House of Representatives was supposed to bring out the truth for the public. And I think that both parties failed in that. I think that the Democrats probably could have pursued the information through the court system, which they try to take a shortcut. I also think that both parties was trying to protect their golden boys, Biden and Trump. I think when the offer was there, specifically that, Biden's come and testify, supposedly to shed light on what was the true trigger for the president to make that call. I think that both parties sort of try to protect themselves in a way that prevented the truth to come out.
Kamal, thanks a lot for calling in. Maurice, I think there's a sense among a lot of people that there's a lot we still don't know and information keeps trickling out because, as he said, Democrats didn't take it to the courts to try to force witnesses to come. The Senate didn't call witnesses like John Bolton. There's a lot of testimony that might have shed light that we don't get now.
Yeah, and again, the impeachment process is a political process. Just like the Republicans did not need to pursue impeachment of Bill Clinton, the same thing here, that the Democrats could have maybe just censured the president or, waited for the courts to answer certain questions, particularly in terms of executive privilege and that sort. So the truth is a slippery sort of issue. I don't know. Again, they would say that they're going after the truth, but it's taking place within a political process.
Thanks a lot for that call. Briefly, as we wrap up, Maurice, do you see in an election year after an impeachment any room for the president and, say, House Democrats to work together on I don't know, anything.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. Simply because I think the politics are so raw. We saw this at the State of the Union last night where the president refused to shake Speaker Pelosi's hand. And at the very end, Speaker Pelosi sort of rips up, once again, a copy of the speech on television and in front of the world. So I think this is it's going to be very hard fought, once again, a political season.
Maurice, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Maurice Shepherd, professor of political science at Madison College. He joined us today for a look at the final day of President Trump's impeachment trial. The Senate ultimately voted to acquit the president on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, right down party lines, with the exception of Utah Senator Mitt Romney, who voted to convict the president on that first charge of abuse of power.